Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed to have servants around. Servants around here somewhere. Praise the Lord. And welcome to Gifts of the Spirit Ministry Fellowship. And want to pray for this and thank God for summertime and for the picnic, and especially this summer has been a blessing. All the rain and the plants are loving it. The garden's doing good, and all the crops look like it's going to be like billions of dollars in the harvest. Should be good for the economy. What a blessing! Thank God and for this day and work through me and help us to get the right message and be rooted and grounded in the Word. And grow the kingdom. God, your kingdom is power and glory forever. Thank you, God, and amen. Amen. I'm going to read chapter 8 and 9. And I went over some scriptures, and we're going to... She wants to hand these out. Thanks. And... the paper that you're getting here is a list. Had the idea to do matching, so it's the. If you read, when we read Matthew 8 and 9, there's 10 miracles, and so we have 11 scriptures on there, and then descriptions, and then you can match the description to the scripture. Thanks for your copy. And. Also, we're going to have a Bible quiz, so pay attention. Oh boy. And you can raise your hand if you have the answer to when we do the Bible quiz. And I want to read our mission statement. The GSMF mission statement, to perfect the saints. Saints are the believers in Christ, to teach believers how to live a victorious life in their covenant rights and privileges. This takes place when the believer becomes rooted and grounded in God's word. And our vision is to restore the body of Christ back to the divine order established in the early church, to renew the unity of the fivefold ministry gifts: apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and equip the saints through discipleship, deliverance, sharing out of faith, and working in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is done through kingdom teachings and discipleship training, not to compete, but to complete. Praise the Lord. And then the love. We want to walk in love and humility. Love is not patient. Kind, delights in truth, always hopes, always perseveres. Love is not proud, envy, boast, rude, self-seeking, easily angered, keeps records of wrongs, delight in evil. It will fail you and let you down every time. There is no hope at all. What is your character? How do people see you? Matthew 7, 15 to 16. You will know them by their fruits. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keith's book also has, this is Apostle Keith's book, I'm Sick and Tired of Christians Losing the Victory. And so we put this on the board. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. So guess what happens in Matthew 8 and 9, this... the devils, demons get cast out, so the kingdom of God has arrived among you. So my name is Matt. My story is I listened to business audio, and before I knew the Lord, and at the end of it, I was trying to figure out how to make money. At the end of it, the guy said he gives all the credit to his Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, his personal Savior. So then at a meeting on a Sunday in Chicago, I went forward and gave my life to Christ, and then I learned about the spirits a few years later, and God delivered my soul from hell, so now I'm attempting to do something great for the Lord. So there's 10 miracles in Matthew 8 and 9. The leper cleansed. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I've got the Blue Letter Bible, and we want to be able to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment when we read, and then I've got the Blue Letter Bible also to listen to. You can listen to audios and messages on there. And I got a few notes. So, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And leprosy back in the day was, they renamed it now to Hansen's disease after the doctor that worked on it. But leprosy, you couldn't get near anybody. Like, you had to make an announcement 300, 200 feet away. And so some people argued with Jesus that he broke the law by touching a leper, but also you could make the argument that after Jesus touched the leper, he wasn't a leper anymore. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God had come unto him. And Jesus saith, number four, Jesus saith unto him, see thou, tell no man, but go thy way, shew thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Praise the Lord. And the centurion's servant healed. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, this was what some people believe was Jesus' headquarters, a beautiful place. So some people have been to the Holy Land, and like blue sky, beautiful waters, and everything there in Capernaum. And there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will, come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So prayed about this a little bit, listened to some messages, then it was like, why is the faith? The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when the centurion said, speak the word, could be the reason Jesus marveled at his faith. And they understood authority. So he knew he could get something accomplished because he's under authority. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So the east and west is Gentiles. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So those were the natural seed, the Jews in the area. They were rejecting. And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Jesus never excluded anyone. And Peter's mother-in-law healed, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." So Jesus heals the leper, the Gentile, and a woman. The leper is an outcast. The Gentile centurion was a Roman. And then the women weren't valued very good in that culture. And he heals a woman. Teaching about discipleship. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Some of the other gospels say over. He said go over to the other side on the water. He didn't say go under the water. So, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus saith unto him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And another of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." So this was a hard one to understand, but it was like a procrastination thing. Like his father might be in good health right now, but at the time, but he was going to, take care of his father for maybe 20 years until he had his father passed away. When put it off, like some people want to put it off until retirement and things like that to serve the Lord. But Jesus said unto him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." And then the storm stilled in 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. So Jesus normally slept whenever he got on a boat. That was his chance to sleep, because he's fully man, fully God. He would sleep on the boat. And the tempest, people have been to the Holy Land, talk about, or the Sea of Galilee, where they were, like a lake, and then there's mountains, so it'd make a big temperature difference between the top of the mountains and the waters, and it'd be like 25-foot waves. And so the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep, and the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And then 28. That Jesus had mastery over the elements. 28 is devils cast out. And when he was coming to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, and there's a city too, a Gennesareth city, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And if you have been to the Holy Land and know the area, so it was probably back in the 80s, this message I listened to, but they did excavating around there, found another city, the Gennesareth city. And so I like to listen to the factoids, the facts. So they found and they think they can see where there's only like one steep place where the swine could have gone down into the sea and perished. So they actually know, they could point to the actual spot where the swine ran down. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus when they saw him, besought him that he would depart out of their coast. And I was listening to this, the Chuck Smith message on the Blue Letter Bible, and he got into there's books about missionaries, demon experiences in many lands is the name of a book, and then it's talking about Deliverance and Life magazine and stuff like that. It's talking about the demons. Jesus always shows the spiritual. And a man with palsy healed, and he entered into a ship. This chapter 9 now passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." So Jesus always shown the spiritual. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And he arose, that's in the Bible somewhere, that's not in this chapter. And he rose and departed to his house, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And the greatest miracle that Jesus has done is a salvation. So when I see when we're driving and you go on the ramp for the interstate, there's usually somebody standing there. If I don't have anything to give them, I'll try to, because some people don't want to give them money, but I'll try and tell them John 3. They usually already know the Bible. But John 3 and the Billy Graham message, so read John 3. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So, and then a lot of people know the Bible, and then they'll tell me something they have. A guy had Psalms 91 memorized. Powerful. Oh. Then we're on 9, chapter Salvation is the greatest miracle. And there's Matthew called. Matthew's got the right first name. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So mercy and sacrifice were part of what the Pharisees knew. But Jesus had love. I've got, we have love books in our library that you can read. Kenneth Hagin writes a lot on it. Powerful. The question about fasting. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but the disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the new and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they that put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. So this made me think of what Keith is known for, bringing people out of religion and in personal relationship and kingdom, and in the kingdom. Ruler's daughter raised. While he spoke these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased of an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Yeah, that's it was on the back of a t-shirt. About the scripture. For she said within herself, If I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and people making a noise, minstrels, they made noise to get the evil spirits out. He said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." So pretty good faith. Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of devils." And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And so Jesus doesn't formulate a pattern for deliverance and healing. We try to, when something works, like we try to duplicate what we did before, but not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to do that. It's what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do, and do greater works than Jesus. So God's not in a box or a certain method. God's sovereign work. The need for laborers. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So thank God for Matthew 8 and 9 and the harvest, and we're asking for laborers to come in. We ask the Lord of the harvest for to send laborers into the harvest and grow your kingdom, God. Thank God. There's going to be a quiz at the end. Bible quiz. So Matthew 8, the leper cleansed. How soon? Let me read them all to you first so we can get them right. The leper cleansed. Matthew 8, 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Restore the centurion's servant. Matthew 8, 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Peter's mother-in-law healed. So this is towards the end of the section. This is actually after he healed more people. But Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The storm stilled. Matthew 8:26, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Devils cast out. Matthew 8:32, and he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. So those are the chapter 8 ones. So the first question is the leper cleansed. How soon was the leper cleansed after Jesus said, be thou clean? I know Eden knows it. Good. And number 2, in what hour was the centurion's servant healed? Amen. Peter's mother-in-law healed. What prophet said himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses? Yep. They spell it with an E in this. Yeah, they spell it with an E. Isaiah. Devils cast out. What did Jesus say to the devils before they went into the herd of swine? Yep. You got it. The storm stilled. What did Jesus say before he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea? Yep. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Now I'll refresh your memory on chapter 9 and then do chapter 9. A man with palsy healed. Matthew 9:8. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Cures a woman with the issue of blood. Matthew 9:22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. A ruler's daughter raised. Matthew 9:24. He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Restores 2 blind men to sight. Matthew 9:28. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and he saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Heals a demoniac. Matthew 9:33. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Now, a man with palsy healed. Why did the multitudes marvel and glorify God? Yes. Because God has given such power unto men. Cures the woman with the issue of blood. How soon was the woman made whole after Jesus told her to be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole? How soon? From that hour, yeah. Restores 2 blind men to sight. What did the blind men say after Jesus asked them if they believed he was able to do this? They said, yea, Lord. Heals a demoniac. What did the multitudes who were marveling say after the devil was cast out and the dumb spake? Yes. Yes, dear. A ruler, daughter, raised. What did Jesus say about the ruler's daughter when he was laughed to scorn? Yep. The maid is not dead but sleepeth. Good job. Now I'll show you the answers for the matching. Oh, it's upside down. There. So it can help us be rooted and grounded in the word is the idea. Praise the Lord. We had a meeting Monday night, and then Elaine said, we can do greater things than Jesus. And told the demons to go. Amen. And received it. He received it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. This is the book that Apostle's been talking about, too, is the right and wrong thinking. So it starts out with Matthew, and I had the love book also. That's about the size of note cards, and there's a lot of books back there like are this size. But since we're in Matthew, it's Matthew 5, 6, and 7 come before these chapters, and like the Sermon on the Mount, and then... He has Matthew, what is this one? This is Romans 10, 8, Romans 10, 8 through 10. The love book starts out with a scripture in Matthew. But the salvation message is the most important message, and Steve was showing me it on his phone when I walked in the door. The Romans 10:9, and right and wrong thinking. Right and wrong thinking. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What we believe is a result of our thinking. If we think wrong, we will believe wrong. The word of God is given to us to straighten out our thinking. If our believing is wrong, our confession will be wrong. In other words, what we say will be wrong. And it will all hinge on our thinking. So in this book, it's right and wrong thinking, the right and wrong believing, and right and wrong confession. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Ordinarily, we talk quite a bit about the believing part, but we do not talk too much about the saying part. Of course, we shall not be able to say right until we think right. Our thinking has to be in line with the word of God, because actually we shall not be able to believe beyond the knowledge we have of the Word of God. So when Hagen was 17 years old, back in the 30s or sometime, and he was just alone in a room, and all he could do is read his Bible, and he believed on these scriptures in Mark 11:23 and 24, and read the epistles and got healed. Many people, because of the metaphysical mind science religions, will get one mixed up with them because they think that man is just a mental and physical being, but man is more than this. He is also a spiritual being. These advocates have had much to say about the mind until full gospel people are afraid to say a word about the mind, and yet the Word of God has much to say about it. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Proverbs 3:5. The Bible says, "Casting down imaginations, reasonings, and every high thing that is exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians 10:5. God's word also says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Romans 12:2. And Hebrews 4:14, "Hold fast to our confession. It is necessary that there be a continual confession of redemption from Satan's dominion and of the fact he is no longer rules us with condemnation or fear of disease." We are to hold fast to our confession because our confession is Satan's defeat. Hallelujah. If one deals with the legal side of redemption and preaches that side entirely, then people will not actually experience anything in their lives. I got this out of our library. I'm just reading the yellow highlights. On the other hand, there has to be a balance between the two so that one can enjoy vitality and reality, everything that God legally provided. By our believing the Word of God in our hearts and confessing with our mouths, that is true, that is ours. And then Hebrews 10:23 states, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Here are two different verses in Hebrews that tell us to hold fast the confession of our faith. Let us hold fast to saying the same thing. First, it's necessary we know what God has wrought for us in Christ, that we believe it and confess it. It is our confession of it that creates reality, and then it becomes real in our lives. Second, it's necessary for us to know what God, through the Word and through the Holy Spirit, has wrought in us. Third, it's necessary for us to know what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing for us now in his present day ministry at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation." I don't have a new physical body, but thank God I'm going to have one someday. Nevertheless, the man on the inside is a new creation, and that old man is gone that used to be there. Praise God! Exclamation point. There's a new creature there now. A Christian is not renovated like a mattress is renovated. He is a new creature. A renovated mattress is just made over. This is not a reformation. This is something that never before existed. A new creature. Praise God! Exclamation point. One translation reads, "He is a new species. He is simply something that never before existed." Praise the Lord. He's talking about things that happened in 1933. Let's see. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Satan shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. And chapter 2, right and wrong believing. "Hold that fast which thou hast." He knew that there was a power raised against us that would endeavor to defeat us, to take it away from us, to rob us. Faith, we have said, is like love. It is revealed only in action and word. There is no faith without confession. confession. Faith will grow with your confession. Confession does several things for the believer. Confession gives direction and fixes landmarks for one's life. One cannot receive from God without right believing and right confession. When man begins to realize that, he can get somewhere with God. You will never be a conqueror until you confess that you are. Amen. Do what Jesus said. Hold fast to your confession and fight the good fight of faith. Do not let the devil maneuver you out of your firm position. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In chapter 3, the confession of our lips that has grown out of faith in our heart will absolutely beat the devil in every combat. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. If Christ defeated the devil for us, then why does the devil do so many things against us? Why does he dominate people? Because the people let him. Many individuals think that God is responsible for all things that happen to them, and God is not responsible for any of them. They think it is up to God to do something about their troubles, but it is up to the individual to do something. That's what it seemed like in 8 and 9, the people were requesting. It was up to the individual. That work was turned over to us, and it is up to us to possess the land. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. But Peter did not stop there. In the next verse, he said for us to do something about it. Whom resists steadfast in the faith? The word says that Jesus defeated you. You are a defeated foe, devil. The New Testament says that you do not have any authority over me. This New Testament covenant that God has established with man through the blood of Christ. Many can't claim to believe the New Testament, but actually do not. They are ignorant concerning the word of God. They ask, if you heal the sick as Jesus did, then why don't you heal everybody? Man that says that Jesus healed all the sick is a liar, because the word of God plainly shows that Jesus did not heal all the sick. Unbelief kept Christ from doing many things. Mark 6:5-6 says, and he could do there's no mighty work save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. And Paul said in writing the church at Ephesus, and neither give place to the devil. What does it mean? It means that we should not give the devil any place in us. The devil cannot take a place in us unless we let him do it. Greater is he that is within us than any force around and about us. This is the battleground on which we fight and determines whether we succeed or fail. Joyce Meyer's Battleground of the Mind, we got in the library also. For doubts and fears are narcotics of the devil. Fight the good fight of faith. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hold fast that which thou hast, whom resist steadfast in the faith. All such terms as these denote some strenuous effort put forth on our part. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It is spiritual wrestling. Hold fast to your confession. Hold fast. Do not just hold loosely or half-heartedly, but hold fast. I stopped holding to the confession of my senses and held to what God's word said. Praise the Lord. So this teacher read the word, a lot like Thurman, read the word, believed it, knows it really well, can explain it well too. What a blessing. So thank God for this day, and help us enjoy the beautiful Iowa weather, and just be blessed, 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 and all week long. Thank you, God, and amen.